In Australia, 13% of us are living below the poverty line. That's about 3 million people. If you've managed to extricate yourself from that situation, how did you do it? You can leave a comment on the post on our Facebook page. It's National Anti-Poverty Week at the moment, and poverty is something that can plunge people into homelessness and also make it very hard to get back into secure housing. And as the stories will tell you show, it can happen to any one of us. Caroline Odgers is one of the managers of GiveIt, a not-for-profit company that coordinates donations and services for those in need across Australia. Caroline, welcome to Life Matters.
Hello, Hilary.
For people living below the poverty line, what sorts of things are they experiencing on a daily basis?
It's quite eye-opening to hear these stories, these real-life stories of people living in poverty. It could be anyone, someone we're working with, the barista who makes our coffee in the morning, even a family member. We're seeing it doesn't discriminate. So it could be a person living a regular life who has found themselves living in a domestic violence situation. A person who might have found themselves living with a critical or chronic illness, or even a teenager who doesn't have great support networks. These are just some of the stories we've put out there to tell these real life stories of the unlikely ones who have found themselves living in poverty.
And when we think of poverty, we think of that stress of juggling bills and wondering if we can afford the school excursions and the petrol for the car, things like that. But it also has a real impact on people's sense of control over their lives, doesn't it? And their sense of hope.
Absolutely. And I guess the stories that we're hearing is people do become overwhelmed by poverty, and it so often leads to homelessness, which homelessness isn't just sleeping rough on the streets. It's people who are couch surfing, even sleeping in their cars. These people who don't have a fixed address. So the stories that we're getting out there is that these people are saying, take one step at a time. It is an overwhelming experience, but with these wraparound support services that are available to these people who have found themselves living in poverty, they can pull themselves out.
And Caroline, how's the poverty line defined these days?
The poverty line is defined generally by people who don't have, great work prospects. Of course, they don't have the fixed address. They found themselves living in, found themselves homeless, and with not great support networks. So I guess.
But in terms of numbers, what is the number we're thinking of when we think of the poverty line today?
The poverty line. Look, we do know that. There's 3 million people across Australia are living in the poverty line, and so many things have taken them there. One in particular we're finding in these stories that we're talking about in these podcasts is that 40% of people who have found themselves living in poverty have come from domestic violence situations. So again, these unlikely people who are living a really ordinary life have found themselves living in these terrible situations and are below the poverty line.
And I think the figure there is $433 a week for a single adult in 2015-16. I imagine there's a lot of people who might find their income dipping below and above that over the course of a month or a year, given the state of the economy these days. Let's hear now from someone that we're calling Cassie. You mentioned this podcast, Caroline Odgers, that GiveIt produces, and this is one of the stories that you can find in the podcast. The podcast is called Unlikely. Now, Cassie found herself with a baby and nowhere to sleep.
I actually went to the hospital in labour, so I wasn't aware that I was having a baby, and I didn't have a partner at the time. I was very scared. I think I was in shock to the outside world. Our family was quite successful, and I believe in their eyes that this circumstance was bringing shame to our family. And within half an hour of him being born, my mum told the nurses that I couldn't stay with them if I decided to keep him. The father didn't know that he was a father, and our relationship broke down due to DV, so I was really scared about even telling him. So I decided on my own that he would go into foster care just for a short while I got myself organised. Through the social work team at the hospital, that's where they connected me with Carinya House. I was helped with baby goods initially, clothes, a bed.
Now, Caroline Odgers from Give It, which is a not-for-profit that helps connect people with services. I mean, Cassie's story clearly has some really unusual and terrible elements. She's having to make this terrible choice and she's dealing with a massive life change. There's a lot going on. But in its raw elements, how rare is a story like Cassie's?
It's actually not too rare. And I guess at giveit.org.au, where we share genuine stories of need from the about 2,700 charities across Australia who are using GiveIt and putting forward these stories of need from their clients. So many of them are from younger people and those who have come out of domestic violence relationships. Look, I certainly had no idea just how much poverty was in our own backyard until I started with Give It and read about these stories of so many people doing it tough across Australia.
And how often does someone come to a service with literally nothing, like Cassie did, needing help with even the basics?
We're seeing it so often. People escape, families escaping domestic violence, those who have recently arrived into Australia with literally just the clothes they are wearing. We're doing anything from a donation of a toothbrush right through to a fridge. Some families are keeping their food cold in an esky. Some families are washing their clothes by hand instead of using a washing machine. So these real tangible donations via giveit.org.au are making a real, a life-changing moment for these people who have found themselves living in poverty.
Now, Cassie got help by going to a service or being hooked up with a service by someone at a healthcare provider. Are there people like Cassie, though, who can't get access to support services, who just never come across those points where they can be linked in?
I guess in metro areas, it's easier than the regional areas. Especially here in Canberra, we are quite lucky in that there are so many services available for those who have fallen on tough times. But I guess the message we really wanted to get out with these podcasts is shining a light on these services and letting these people know who have found themselves in poverty that there is help out there. Now, these services, walked alongside these people and help them out of their journey of poverty. So I guess it's just making that step forward and finding the service in your area who can walk alongside you.
And Caroline, you mentioned the access issues in areas outside the metro areas in Australia, but what other barriers are there? Are you saying there should be a better system of linkages so that people can connect with a service that suits their needs at those crucial moments in their lives?
I guess it is about the public being educated on exactly what's out there. Now, we support several thousand charities across Australia, and I guess that's just the tip of the iceberg. We're hoping to support even more, and I guess it's just a matter of spreading the word as to what services are out there. We are hearing, and I guess especially here in Canberra, that people are finding those services generally through OneLink here in Canberra when people do find themselves homeless or out of work, living in poverty. But I guess with these Give It stories, it is all about the people and how regular Australians can read these stories of need and help these people out of poverty by donating their quality pre-loved items or making a cash donation.
And Caroline, what about when people do find accommodation, if they're lucky enough to do that? How long does it take to get back to something resembling a secure life, feeling like you're going to manage?
Now, I guess a lot of these, the people who are moving into housing properties, they are a blank canvas. Most don't have curtains. Definitely no crockery, cutlery, electrical appliances. A lot of people tend to be sleeping on the floor and not a mattress. With the support of these wonderful service providers who are out there and registered with Give It, requesting these items to get these people back on their feet, it does happen pretty quickly. When people read these stories of need on giveit.org.au, it's quite an emotional experience and people do donate quite generously. So, sometimes it's a matter of hours or days. I know here in Canberra, We had a request come up one afternoon for a housing support service that was supporting a family of nine. Now, there was no emergency accommodation available for that particular night, so they requested a tent for this family to sleep in. Now, that tent was, I think it was posted on our website at 4 o'clock. It was donated by about 4:30. So that family had some accommodation for that night. I mean, it's just heartbreaking, these stories that are coming out of our own backyard. And it is wonderful to see that locals can get behind and support these people who have found themselves living in poverty.
Caroline, are there logistical difficulties with people donating goods? Because so many charities these days are saying, look, it's lovely that you want to send things and it's really heartwarming that there's this goodwill across Australia, but it's so much easier if you just send money and we can find the appropriate thing and use our logistics systems to get it to people. Did you have to overcome some challenges to make this system work?
Mm. Well, I guess the beauty of Giv-It is it's needs specific. So rather than overwhelming charities with donations who often don't have, I guess, the resources or the means to store the donations, it's a very, very streamlined way of managing donations. In addition to that, it's a private and it's a dignified way of getting items to people in need. And I guess a lot of people, they know that there's poverty in Australia, yet they don't know how to help. And some people might feel uncomfortable donating funds, whereas Giv-It, you can actually donate an item. So you know that that donation goes directly into the hands of someone who needs it via a trusted charity.
And we're already getting text messages saying, how can I help? But the idea is to go to the website and see what's specifically needed, not gather your own things that you can afford to donate and take them somewhere. We're chatting with Caroline Odgers, who is the ACT manager of giveit.org.au, which hooks up people in need with the charities that support them with the goods and services that they might need. Now, we heard earlier Cassie's story, who unexpectedly found herself with a new baby and nowhere to stay. And at the other end of the spectrum, there's people like Tina. That's not her real name either. She's over 50. She was married, sharing a house she owned with her husband and living with HIV. And when her marriage broke down, things unravelled, and she went back to her hometown in Uganda for some time. When she came back, things had changed.
When I came back to Australia, I found few items of my belongings with my sister, and they said, well, your husband sorted out the house and this is what he believes are yours. I stayed with my sisters, had medical problems, so I was going to see doctors, and it reached a point when my daughter in Wollongong is too far away from my doctor, and my sisters here had enough of me. I remember sitting in Canberra Center, shopping center, thinking, what am I going to do? After the doctor, I had nowhere to go because the doctor arranged yet for me to see another doctor in the next 2 days. And those 2 days, I said, God, are you alive? And hang around shopping center. My doctor, thanks God to her, organized accommodation for me at the hospital. So the AIDS Council supported me. I can't remember how many days I stayed, because I do remember sleeping because I had a bed to sleep on. Thank you to AIDS Council. Collected me with my belongings from the hospital hostel, and I came and stayed in Avalok House. Going back to work is what I'm looking for.
That's Tina, and she told her story to the journalists working on the podcast called Unlikely, the journalist Bree Element. Caroline Odgers is the manager of Giv-It, which produces the podcast. I'm wondering too, if you've managed to extricate yourself from a situation of poverty or homelessness, how did that come about? Tell us your story on Facebook. Caroline, when we look at the risks older women face around homelessness, what is the current situation?
So we know that women over 55 has become the fastest growing category of people experiencing homelessness. Now, of course, this is due to a number of reasons, stopping work to take care of the family, not a great deal of super. Now, in Tina's case, there was a marriage breakdown. She was living a very, very normal life. So she is definitely one of the unlikely ones who have found themselves living in poverty. But she had, she thought, a great support network, you know, great family. She had a very steady job. She even had a number of investment properties in Canberra and Sydney. Now, yeah, later in her 50s, marriage broke down and she found herself, as we just heard then, sleeping in the bus centre. Now, it was only for about a week she was actually homeless, but she would have never dreamed of being in that situation. And we're hearing more and more stories similar to this one of women over 55 who have found themselves homeless.
What are some of the pathways that can help people get out of that cycle, Caroline? Because you must see this story playing out over and over.
We absolutely do. And there are so many services. And I mean, AIDS Action Council, Tina just mentioned then, because Tina was living with HIV. And I guess that wasn't really why she ended up homeless, which is really interesting. The HIV was being managed and managed perfectly for years. So I guess they were the crucial service that really helped her pull herself out of poverty. But she was also working with a number of others that AIDS Action Council had looped her into. And I guess this is the beautiful thing, that it's not just one service provider gets behind that particular person who's found themselves living in poverty. It's a full wraparound support. The charities work so closely together, which is great.
Yep, and it's all about that sense of being able to be connected with services, as you say. Caroline Hodges, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Hilary.
Caroline's one of the managers of Give It, an online not-for-profit which works with charities. And there'll be links on the Life Matters website if you want to check out ways to help people in need.